ओम ज्ञानच निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर नीलितम येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
This is a discussion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how He takes different incarnations. For which purpose? What does the Lord come to this world for? Why does He come? So there are people who say that God cannot come to this world. There are various religionists who say this. They even consider it a blasphemy to say that God has come to this world. But to say that God cannot come to this world, from the very beginning it's a meaningless statement. Because if we say God cannot, then what is the meaning of this being God? What they should say is that the persons who say this, they cannot conceive of or understand God. But to say that He cannot come is ridiculous. Because then what is the meaning of this being God if He can't do something? Now they may consider that God should not. They may consider it demeaning to His status as God. But then that means that they don't understand the science of God, because we see that God does take different incarnations out of His mercy to uplift the conditioned souls. And though He comes to this world, it's not that He becomes less by coming to this world. It's by coming to this world of birth and death, He doesn't become subjected to the laws of birth and death. Prabhupada gave the example that the king may visit the prison, but it doesn't make his status any less because he goes to the prison. He's still the king. The prisoners are still the prisoners, and the king goes to the prison to try to give them some inspiration to be a better person and not remain in the prison. But it doesn't mean that he becomes fallen down to their situation. If someone is in the prison, generally you say, well, someone's in a prison. That generally you think, oh, that's not very good, he's a prisoner. But if you hear that the king is in the prison, you don't think, well, if the king's also become a prisoner, he's become a criminal. But rather, he's gone there, he doesn't have to go there. But he goes just to give some hope to the prisoners that you can also someday be a good person. You can be a regular citizen. So that is his mercy that he goes. Someone may say the king cannot go to prison, because after all, the prison is going on under his rule. And to be in prison means that you're under the prison rule. The prisoner means he's under the control of the prison guard. If they tell him, come here, they have to go there. If they tell him, now it's exercise time, they have to do exercise. If they tell him, now you have to do work, then they have to do it. If they tell them, now it's time to eat, then at that time only they can eat. When the prison guards give them food, then only they can eat. Just leave it. Either every time in the class, it's always trying to do it properly and just forget it. So when we hear someone's in a prison, then that means they're in a very controlled and demeaning situation. But then again, if the king goes, that doesn't mean he becomes under the rules of the prison, because intrinsically he is the ruler of not only the prison but everything outside it. So he may go to the prison, but he's always the king. So in the same way, God, he can come to this world. It's not that he has to come to this world. That is the misunderstanding of people who say that God cannot come to this world. He can, if he wants to. He may come out of his mercy. But that doesn't mean he's under the prison rules. It's not that if he comes to this, just like if the king goes to the prison, it doesn't mean that he's under the control of the prison guards. Rather, they remain under the control of him, and the prisoners, they can't tell the prison guards what to do. But if the king goes to the prison, he can do, and they'll all show him respect if he goes there. And he can even do things outside the normal course of events in the prison. At 8 o'clock in the morning, it may be exercise time for all the prisoners, but if the king wants to give them all a special lecture or give them a special treat, maybe he'll meet with them and speak with them individually. Or he can change the rules while he's there. In general, he doesn't interfere with the rules and regulations, because after all, it's set up under his guidance. for the uplift of the prisoners. But if he wants, when he comes, he can change the schedule a little bit. And he's, because he's always independent of the prison rule. So in the same way, if the Supreme Lord comes to this world, it's not that he's under the prison rules or that he's under the guards, although he doesn't interfere with the prison guards. So in the same way, the king, the Supreme Lord, when he comes to this world, he's independent, and the demigods who are his representatives, they're like the prison guards. They're his representatives. They rule the world under his direction. So they respect him and they facilitate his visit. Of course, it's a little different because the demigods, in one sense, they're also prisoners. But they're devotees. They're not bad. They're not out and out criminals. They're cooperating with the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord, he comes to this world, but he shows that he's not one of us by his extraordinary pastimes. He appears in different parts of the universe and in different forms to reclaim all the living beings. That's why he comes, just out of his mercy. He doesn't have to come, just like the king doesn't have to go to prison. But the Supreme Lord comes to this world just to give mercy to the living beings who are within it. Mostly to human society, because in human society there is more, human beings have more intelligence how to understand God. But the Supreme Lord also helps to uplift all living beings who may see him. All living beings who see him, they are benefited. They may not understand who he is. Just like the Lord takes Matsya Avatar, the form of a fish. So the fish in the ocean, they see him moving around. They're just fish, they have no philosophical understanding. Who is God? This is Matsya Avatar. But just by seeing him, they get some benefit. And the Supreme Lord, especially, there are three forms of God: Ram, Krishna, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who deliver many, 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 many living beings back to Godhead. Lord Ram delivered all the inhabitants of Ayodhya, including all the, not only the humans, but even lower species. He delivered the monkeys and bears who fought on his behalf. Lord Krishna also, so many, many, many living beings, they were benefited by his appearance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, he delivered even trees back to Godhead. Trees, dogs, tigers, elephants, Pashu Paki Jurid, Pashana Vidari, Shuni Jara Gunagata, even the birds, animals, they were all delivered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the Lord, he appears in human society for the benefit of all living beings. Human beings, they're expected to take more advantage. But even those in lower species, just like we see, there is prasad distribution. Now, at least in the Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we can distribute prasad even to animals. Now in some sampradayas, like Sri Sampradaya, they think it's offensive to give prasad to animals. But we will give to animals also. The animals may not appreciate that this is prasad, but they get benefit. Even if an animal takes prasad, he gets transcendental benefit, even though he doesn't know. We see some, that doesn't mean that we sit the dogs down with the human beings at the same time to take prasad. There's some discrimination also. And we shouldn't encourage animals to come around the kitchen by feeding them from the kitchen area. Because they don't know the difference between bhog and prasad, then they'll be coming all the time and they'll be interested to eat the bhog also. So that's why they should be fed, they should be kept at a distance. But they can be given prasad also. That will be for their benefit. Sometimes we see there are some animals, they have devotional symptoms. There are some, one devotee was telling me in Malaysia, there's one chicken who ran away from the chicken pen and just lives in the bushes near to the temple. And every morning he'll be there at Mangalati. They have a big window at the front. The temple is like this with an open door there. And when the conch blows, he'll raise his wings and crow. And every arati he'll be there. And he'll watch the whole arati. And he'll come around, they give him some prasad. So they took him to the farm and now he got some disciples. some other chickens are following him. Whenever any devotee comes, he comes just like they come in the car, especially if there's any sannyasi, he'll come and he'll welcome them. He's a devotee. Obviously he's got developed consciousness. Must have been a devotee in his previous life. There are various stories. There was a dog in the farm in Australia who showed many symptoms of being a devotee. There was a story how at the midday arati on the farm in Australia, the devotee turned around to offer the lamp to Prabhupada. There's no other devotees there at that time. He said there's no devotees there, but there's one dog, one kangaroo and one peacock, all watching the arati very carefully and respectfully. So there are cases, it's unusual. That even, you can understand, they must have been a devotee in their previous life and due to some offense they fell down, but they have that attraction to Krishna. So they can be given some facility. The Lord, he appears in deity form to benefit, even the lower species can benefit. That's described Madhavan Gopuri when he established the deity of Gopal on Govardhan Hill. Then he arranged for profuse distribution of prasadam to all, and described even the animals, they were given prasadam. So that is the deity form of the Lord, is another form of the Lord. There are various forms, there are various incarnations. So the deity is called Archa Avatar. He appears in the form of the deity, and the form of the deity is especially for giving mercy to many, many living beings. Now, there may be deity worship at home, in which one, the family members, mostly just for the family members. But even then, the family members who are worshipping the deity at home, they're supposed to call people and invite them. Please take prasad. A householder, traditionally a householder, before he takes his meal, he's supposed to go outside and call, "Are there anyone needs food? Please come." Of course, in a modern urban setting, that may not be so appropriate, but traditionally in the villages one would do it, because mostly there people would just be from the village and they'd have their own arrangements of food. But if there's any itinerant, that means sannyasi or maybe some merchant like that, then they would call and see if anyone needs some food, let them take. But public temples, they are meant for, of course, everyone is welcome to come to the temple. But even the prasad distribution, that Prabhupada wrote, that very important part of deity worship. Deity worship is not complete without prasad distribution. Because especially in the modern age, not everyone has very great appreciation for the deity, for coming to the temple. But everyone likes food. And by Krishna's grace, that the best food in the universe is prasadam. Even all over the world, there are many vegetarians. In India now, where there's a vegetarian culture in general, now Indian people are becoming more and more non-vegetarian. But all over, in the rest of the world, which is mostly traditionally non-vegetarian, many, many people are becoming vegetarian. So all over the world, among vegetarians, it's known that the best vegetarian food is Hare Krishna food. Best. They know. There's a reason for that, because one thing is, devotees, they're cooking to please Krishna. So Krishna, he blesses them. He gives them the intelligence by which they can cook very nicely for his pleasure. And also, when that is offered to Krishna, then Krishna's mercy becomes transcendental. So the flavor becomes aprakrita. Something not of this world, beyond the modes of material nature. So many people are attracted to come for prasad, and when they come, even if they only take prasad, they'll get great transcendental benefit. But if they come, then they will, if they're a little bit pious, they'll come, look in the temple, see what is there, they'll hear the kirtan, and if they repeatedly do that, then they'll be attracted. And then they'll gradually take up devotional service. Yesterday I was discussing with Satchidananda Prabhu, he was telling me that he first started coming to our Bhaktivedanta Manor center just outside London because just to go for a picnic, that's all. There's a nice lawn and it's many Indians go there. It's in London, which is mostly non-Indian. So he'd mostly go for a picnic with his family. They bring some food. It's their Sunday day out. But naturally, if they go, then the deities are there, they put some donation in the box. And the devotees are there, they come and speak to them and speak some philosophy this day. And gradually became attracted, and now his life is dedicated in the service of Krishna. So this, the deity worship, that is also, that is meant for bringing people, whatever, if there's any slight attraction, come to Krishna. The deity, the temple, is meant for the service of the deity, and that to attract people, just if there's any slight attraction, please come. Just like so many students are coming here, they may not have, most of them, they don't have very much interest in real spiritual life, but at least they come, they think, well, alright, let's go and pray. There's no harm to pray. May help us in our exams. But by doing that regularly, and seeing the devotees chanting, dancing, how the devotees are dressed very nicely, then that will purify their consciousness, and then they'll start to think, oh, there's something very nice in the atmosphere. The temple, the atmosphere should be very pure and very nice so that people can appreciate, this is something different, this is something wonderful, this is something much better than our materialistic way of life. Then they'll start to want to take part, and then they'll become purified. So temple is meant for attracting people to the devotees, to the deities. There should always be many devotional activities, always kirtan going on, and many different programs, so that people will be attracted to take part. Everyone likes some activity. That's why we see now they have parties and picnics and so many things, because people like some activity. Everyone wants to do something. So devotees are offering, here you can do activities in relationship with Krishna, and that will satisfy you. Nothing in this material world can satisfy, but activities in relationship with Krishna, they will satisfy the heart. So there should be many activities, and they should be conducted for the pleasure of Krishna. If the devotees themselves become materialistic, that's also possible. There are many temples where the temple is conducted mostly for the purpose of getting some income so the Saivites can live a comfortable life. But then no one will be attracted to take up transcendental life, because the devotees themselves, they're not living a transcendental life. They're simply transcendental cheating, you can say. They're making a show of bhakti just to get some material facility. So no one, and we've seen in such places where there's such an atmosphere that even if people do become attracted to bhakti, that those who are doing the transcendental cheating, they don't want them, they don't encourage them, because they don't want to spoil their cheating business. So there should be those who are representing Krishna, those who are servants of the deity. They must be very pure-hearted. They must do everything simply for the service, simply for the pleasure of Krishna. And in this way, the devotees, they are extension. They are carrying the mercy of Krishna. They represent Krishna to others. The devotees should be very merciful, compassionate, and bring people to the temple to engage them in the service of Krishna. Krishna wants to give his mercy to everybody and very kindly appears in the deity form. So devotees, they should always be thinking how to bring people to Krishna and then encourage them. When you come, you bring something, make some offering for Krishna, maybe little rice, dal, all these things. Everyone should begin their devotional service like this, that everyone should be trying to bring something for the service of Krishna, because that is devotional life. Devotional life means, instead of trying to take everything of this material world and enjoy it for our own sense pleasure, to offer everything to Krishna, to give everything to Krishna. So that's the beginning. People should be encouraged. When you come, bring a little rice, bring a little dal, bring a little atta, offer it to Krishna. Actually, we should offer everything to Krishna. We should offer our whole life. We should not think that anything in this world is meant for me. We should think everything I've been given some money, some facility, some clothes, house. This is given by Krishna, should be used in his service only. So the beginning is, give a little rice, give a little flour. And then gradually, as that feeling, that we're offering, please Krishna, to accept this offering. Then as that spirit develops, it can be developed by associating with devotees. Then gradually those who are coming, they'll be encouraged to give more and more and more to Krishna. The idea that giving, we should give our very being, our very life, everything in our possession to Krishna. Manasa deho geho jyoti chumo apilam tu apade namde kisho. This is the expression of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That my mind, my body, my home and everything in it, everything that may be considered mine, I'm offering to you, Krishna. So this is the mood of a devotee. That should be encouraged. And those, again, those who are representing the deity must always remember that we are the servant of the deity. They shouldn't think that all these things are being offered, now I can enjoy them. Not like that. But they should engage everything in the service of Krishna. And that will make a very nice transcendental atmosphere, which everyone will be pleased by, everyone will be attracted to. So giving up jara buddhi parihari, giving up materialistic intelligence, materialistic way of thinking. Everyone should offer everything to Krishna. Krishna is very kindly come. Especially we can understand here how Krishna, out of his own specific personal desire, has come to this temple, has come here. He specifically wanted to be here to give his mercy to the inhabitants of this area and the students here. So Krishna has very kindly come in this exquisitely beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Girisari to give his mercy to all the living entities, not only the human beings, to all the living entities, this prasadam distribution. That prasad means mercy. So that is the devotee's duty, to extend the mercy of the Lord to all the people in the area by giving prasad, by encouraging people to chant Hare Krishna, by encouraging people to donate some money, donate that in the service of Krishna for your benefit, so the service of Krishna can be expanded more and more and more. This is the Vaikuntha atmosphere that the Supreme Lord comes into this world. The Prabhupada came from the spiritual world with the mission of Krishna to give the mercy of Krishna to others. So let us continue with that mission of simply, how can we serve Krishna very nicely? And how can we spread the mercy of Krishna to others? By giving prasad, by giving Prabhupada books, very important. You have to remember Prabhupada so much emphasizes that people should understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness by reading these books. Inviting people to festivals. We can have more and more festivals. Gradually we want to expand this more and more. So there are always some joyful activities. Whenever anyone comes to the temple, always some joyful activities going on. So naturally everyone will want to take part. If there's Vaikuntha atmosphere full of bliss, which is there, if everyone is simply thinking how to serve Krishna for his pleasure, then naturally everyone will want to take part. So let us work cooperatively to make that blissful atmosphere, to fulfill the mission of the Lord in coming to this world of delivering the fallen conditioned souls. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Sometimes there are differences of opinion on how best to serve Krishna. Prabhupada said that such differences they are transcendental. Even devotees, they may be contending with each other. But therefore we have an organization with an authority structure, in which someone has to decide. Someone may say, well, we got a donation. Someone may say we should use this to renovate a room, and someone may say, no, we should use it to distribute prasadam, and someone may say, no, we should use it. There may be so many different opinions, but someone has to decide. So you follow the authority. The authority may also take into consideration the opinions of others, but if there's difference of opinion, that should be settled under the guidance of some authority. That's practical. And if someone has very strong opinions and doesn't like to work under any authority, then let them, if they're qualified enough to do so and they get authorization to do so, then they can go and open the center and do it in the way. But the thing is, you may have this opinion and that opinion, but it all has to be within the parameters of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Not that any opinion goes outside of the directions of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.